Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com. And Cow. GCN.
Welcome back to the Power Hour. Man, that was an exciting hour for Doc Marquis. That was quick and to the fact and functional. Sorry to Annette, Mike, and Carol, and a bunch of other folks we couldn't get to for that particular segment. We're going to right now go back to James Corbett of the Corbett Report. The Corbett Report is an independent, listener-supported alternative news source that operates under the principle of the open source intelligence, provides podcasts, interviews, articles, and videos about breaking news and important issues from 9/11 truth and false flag terror to the Big Brother police state, eugenics, geopolitics, central banking fraud, more. I personally love the Corbett Report. I listen to it on an ongoing basis. I'm really excited about having James on today. He's been living and working in Japan since 2004, so without any further introduction, because it's not necessary to the listeners of the Power Hour, James, welcome, and thank you for being on with us today.
Well, thank you so much for that introduction. I appreciate it.
Well, I mean, if I didn't like you, I'd say I don't care for you, but if I didn't like you, I wouldn't be on the show. So I'm really glad you're on here with me today. Okay, first of all, this flight of this plane in Germany, now they're linking it to antidepressants. Now they're saying that the guy, they were investigating these different intelligence communities out of Switzerland and banking fraud that was going on. Do you know anything more about any of this than any of us, or is this just all a bunch of obfuscation still?
I don't know anything more than probably any of your audience. I haven't been following this story in a great degree of detail. It's one of those stories that, to me, I don't see the political ramifications of this yet. And when and if I do, I think it'll be apparent that, you know, that there's something else going on here. But for me, it's something like an MH17. I understand immediately what that's about and the political ramifications and why that could be a false flag op of some sorts. But with this latest plane crash, I don't know. I'm waiting to see what's happening in the news cycle. And I know a lot of people out there are taking a look at this, and I've gotten emails from different listeners and things, but I just haven't been following this story that closely.
What do you want to talk about today, James?
You know, I'm up for mostly anything, apparently not everything. but I, in fact, have just recently started covering something that I think is an extremely important thing on the bigger scale of things, because with so many of these different events that are unfolding, German wings and things like this, it's always focused on the crashes, literal and figurative, the crashes of the economy, the crashes of airplanes, the crashes that are happening societally and culturally. The question is always, what can we do on the other side of this? What can we build up that will survive these types of incidents and crashes and events? And so I've been concerned more and more recently with talking about the different types of solutions that are out there. And I just put out a podcast on something that I think is really fascinating, as fascinating as it is exciting. And that's the idea of the peer-to-peer economy. So I just did a podcast about this that people can find on my website or on YouTube that basically makes the case that we are going through a societal transformation right now that is in some ways perhaps similar to the Industrial Revolution that happened in 18th, 19th century in England and then transplanting to America, where you had a series of technological advances that really changed the fundamental structure of society. And of course, not all for the better. I think there are certain things that happened during the Industrial Revolution that went for the worse, like the fact that urbanization started and now we have more than half of the entire population of the planet living in crowded cities where people generally don't even know their neighbor and things like that. But obviously a lot of other things happened and the structure and fabric of the economy itself was completely changed because of all of these technological innovations that came along. I think we're living through a very similar point right now, right at this moment. And there is a chance, again, it's only a chance, but there is a chance that we can capitalize on this to truly change the game in terms of the economy and where it's heading. And I pointed out a lot of different phenomena that are happening right now online. Primarily, although I don't think it has to be online, but a lot of online services and ideas like an Airbnb or Lyft or Uber or FlightNow or all of these different types of sites that are coming on to basically just connect people with each other without having to go through some sort of big middleman. Suddenly you don't need a hotel. You can find someone is staying in the city that you want to stay in, and you can actually just rent a room directly from them or things like that that are truly changing the game that I'm quite
excited
about.
Hang on one second, James, we're coming right back. We're coming to a break. More with James Corbett in about 2 or 3 minutes. Stay tuned.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
Why use dial-up when you can use broadband? Why travel with this when you can use this? And why would anyone use colloidal or ionic silver when you can use supernatural silver? Supernatural silver is state-of-the-art, and it's been clinically proven to be several hundred times more effective than those other silvers. It's powerful enough to protect you and your family from the threat of deadly viruses, bacteria, and fungus. But it's so safe that it can be used internally or topically, and you'll never again deal with the nasty side effects of harsh drugs or antibiotics. Hundreds of scientific studies by independent universities, hospitals, and research institutions have all shown supernatural silver is a powerful weapon in the fight against invading pathogens. Supernatural silver is a must-have for your arsenal. Go to supernaturalsilver.com today and use the promo code SILVER2015 for 30% off. Give yourself and your loved ones a fighting chance with supernatural silver.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
The second half of the rest of this hour, you guys are going to have a bunch of phone calls. I know you're going to be calling in at just the bottom of the hour again. James, give me your website so people get a hold of your podcast and your information, and then we're going to start back on this news.
Best way to get a hold of me is CorbettReport.com, C-O-R-B-E-T-T, report.com, all one word. Or if you just type James Corbett into a search engine, it will be one of the first ones that come up.
Okay, now, do you have any DVDs or books or anything that people can order to get more information from me, or do you just want to sign up on your podcast?
I do have a lot of DVDs available, but I think if you're new to the Corbett Report, just go and start downloading podcasts and videos and interviews. I have thousands and thousands of hours of media completely freely available for download, and then I ask if people do like the work, you can support it with DVD sales, or you can become a subscriber and or something like that. But first, just take in the information and see if you like it.
Wow, great attitude. Okay, real quick. The United States right now, we've got this martial law planning going on. We've got the United States military running around, rounding up people in mock, you know, civilian internment camps. I mean, what all this crazy nonsense going on now? What's going on, James? Are they planning on crunching us down that hard? Are they planning on sending us to concentration camps? Are they planning on the dollar being losing the ability of being the reserve currency? Tell me what you think is fixing to happen in the United States, because I know you live in Japan right now. I guess you're not going to be involved in a lot of that. But what are they trying to do to us right now? Is it time to leave the U.S. if we're able?
It's a good question, and there's a couple of parts to that question. Are they planning things like martial law? They absolutely are, documentably so, and I've talked about it on my podcast before. I know that Joyce and others have covered it ad nauseum, all of the different FEMA camps and things that have been set up, the institutional structures, Rex 84, and all of these now declassified plans that have been in place for decades now to subvert the Constitution and start roundups of people in the event of some declaration of martial law. We know that they've declared an emergency. They declared an emergency on 9/11 and have re-upped that emergency every single year since then. Both Bush and Obama, every single year, redeclaring the emergency that was originally declared then. So, and we do know that certain continuity of government plans went into place on 9/11, but we don't know exactly what that means or what that entails or whether the Constitution was actually subverted then and is continues to be so. So is martial law roundup a scenario that they're planning on? Absolutely. Is it the most likely way that this crash or collapse or whatever is coming is going to play out? I'm not so sure about that, because from my perspective, if I was steering or puppeteering this, knowing that the end goal of this is going to be the global government solution that they're eventually going to propose, I'm not sure that's going to be the best way to get the United States into that picture, because you have 100 million gun owners in the United States, and they're not going to go easily into that good night, as they say. There's a lot of apathetic people out there, but even if only 1 or 2% of those 100 million gun owners were going to do something, that's a significant resistance that could be still mounted. So I don't know if martial law is exactly the scenario that would work out best. I do see, however, what you talked about, the U.S. dollar losing its world reserve status. That is happening right now. It's happening in a very slow process, or at least slow by sort of the 24/7 news cycle standards, so that a lot of people aren't really noticing each step that's coming along. But we've seen so many of the different steps along that path. The rise of the Chinese yuan, not really as a competitor to the U.S. dollar as a world reserve currency, but just the rise of the yuan in general, and how China has been arguing for years that they want to be included in the IMF's so-called special drawing rights basket, which is this kind of basket of currencies that that the IMF uses as the basis for its own world reserve currency that central banks use behind the scenes. It's not a currency that you and I can go to the store and buy a stick of gum with, but it's a currency that central banks hold and that can be drawn on in yen, in euros, in British pounds, or in American dollars. The Chinese have been arguing for years they want the yuan to be included in that basket, which would really change, I think, the perception of the IMF special drawing rights and what they're used for. And I think they're trying to angle ultimately to get us into a system where it's not the U.S. dollar or any one particular currency that's the world reserve currency. I think they're going to try to get the IMF or some other sort of international body to run some sort of basket of currencies so that we're all in this together and regional economies start to develop and then regional government and then global government. And I think that process takes decades to come to fruition, and it doesn't necessarily involve an, you know, martial law roundup overnight, but it can be even more effective from the viewpoint of the controllers, or even more nightmarish from our viewpoint, because it's that kind of long, drawn-out battle that you don't even know what you're fighting, per se, or you don't know how to fight it as it starts to take place. So I think that's probably the more likely scenario, I think. And that's, again, it's not something that we're really prepared for, even in the alternative media and people who are talking about these types of things. It's always talked about, you know, what will we do if martial law is declared tomorrow? Well, I want to know what we're going to do now as we see this process developing that's taking decades to come to fruition, but is going to result in global government if everything continues going according to this course.
James, are you safe in Japan when all this happens? I mean, isn't Japan a Rothschild-controlled central bank also?
Yeah, Japan is on the front lines of whatever kind of economic collapse is going to occur. The Japanese government famously is the most in debt of any of the developed nations of the world. It was over 250% debt to GDP ratio last time I checked, and growing. No signs of that abating anytime soon. And Japan has been limping along for the last couple of decades, trying to keep its zombie banks from going under. And it's just a basket case, economically speaking. And of course, Abe the prime minister here came in a few years ago with the Japanese version of hope and change, I guess, economic hope and change, which, of course, resulted in nothing except for the inflation into paper, toilet paper of the Japanese yen. So I think whatever is going to happen, Japan is at the very least going to be extremely hurt by it. And if it may, in fact, be the first domino to fall in all of this. So I might just have a ringside seat to report on the economic collapse as it starts to occur.
How about China? Are they going to be the big player in this? Because I hear they're storing up a lot of gold. They're buying all kinds of gold reserves now. They want to back the yuan and gold. Is that true, or is that just a bunch of rumors?
They've made moves that I guess you could interpret that way, but I really don't think that, and they aren't openly, at least promoting the idea that they want a gold-backed yuan. They're arguing openly for to be included in the IMF special drawing rights basket, and those types of moves that they're clearly trying to make the yuan into an international currency, a tradable currency. They're trying to get it internationalized, but I don't think they're going to put gold backing because for the last 5 or 6 years, the Chinese economy has been basically kept going along by an incredible infusion of credit that dwarfs what the Federal Reserve or any of the other central banks have been doing in recent years, an incredible amount of credit that can't be generated, that can't be done if there's a gold backing to the currency. So I don't think the Chinese want to give up on their paper printing press any more than the Federal Reserve or anyone else does. And so they certainly are stirring up gold, but I think that's really just to shore up the Chinese economy and the Chinese monetary infrastructure. But I don't think they're going to try to put a full gold backing on it.
Well, let me ask you another question. Is the Chinese Central Bank, is it owned by the Rothschild banking cartel or is it owned by the People's Republic of China, or do you know?
I think the ownership question is the wrong question to ask because ownership is a different issue. I think it's in terms of control. And I think one of the key ways to figure out if a central bank is part of the control structure is to look at whether or not it is a member of the Bank for International Settlements, with the BIS in Basel, Switzerland, which is the central bank of central banks identified by Carol Quigley, the Georgetown historian, who is name-checked by Bill Clinton in his Democratic nomination acceptance speech as one of his two idols or heroes. And of course, Carol Quigley wrote Tragedy and Hope and The Anglo-American Establishment and other books basically getting secret access to the secret archives of the CFR and the history of that group and where they really came from. And he identified the BIS as kind of the apex of the financial pyramid. This is the central banker's haven. This is where they make all of their real secret plans in complete secrecy. The BIS is kind of its own nation within Switzerland. It can't be raided by the Swiss government and all of those usual types of setups that we see in other places like Vatican and the City of London and places like that. So I think the BIS if your country central bank is a member of the BIS, it's controlled in some way or other. And China, Russia, all of the usual suspects the U.S. and Canada and all of those countries are members. I think that indicates that really they are linked up behind the scenes working towards the creation of global economic system, which of course is the backbone and the real workings of global government. Global government is kind of, I think, the dressing on the window dressing, but the actual meat and potatoes is the economic structure that's coming into place. And I think China is absolutely a part of that. And I documented that in a podcast I did on China and the New World Order, talking about how it's all of the suspects we would expect, that the Kissingers, the Brzezinskis, the Rockefellers have been absolutely eyeball deep in China since at least the 1970s. In fact, you can go back to the 1950s and look at, or the 1940s even, and look at how Mao was actually a Yalee. There was a Yale school in China that invited Mao to edit their student newspaper, and he used it as a platform to become sort of the leader of the Chinese Communist Party that he ultimately ended up becoming. So Mao was absolutely engineered into the position that he was. And then when he passed on and Deng Xiaoping took over, you had all of the Rockefeller, Kissinger, that contingent came in and started creating all of these multilateral institutions that cooperate hand in glove between China and the U.S. And they're very much woven into this structure. So I think anything that any people who are trying to portray China as some sort of big obstacle to the New World Order, I think, are just deluding themselves.
one quick question. Can a Chinese bank issue yuan without having to sell their bonds to the international other countries? Can they issue debt-free currency, James?
It is not debt-free. The issuance actually is a good question because it has been tied to the U.S. dollar. It's been pegged to the U.S. dollar. So in some way, they've been limited by how much they could issue. But their shadow banking system is not, and that's created out of debt that mostly is owed back to the Chinese people themselves.
Okay, hang on, stay tuned. We'll be right back with James Corbett.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realist, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30% while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Hi, my name is Scott Fuchs, teacher and rowing coach for over 14 years. I was sluggish, overweight, on prescription drugs, and only 30-something. Fortunately, I was referred to Dr. Z, and happy to say Dr. Z's all-natural protocols over a consistent course resolved my health issues. I'm in the best shape of my life, and most importantly, on zero medications.
I'm Dr. Zdanowski, author of Evology, trained as a primary care physician, surgical manipulation under anesthesia, expert in nutrition, diet, weight loss, immune system, and I specialize in chiropractic. My 15 years of professional experience has taught me the four keys to vibrant health: a balanced musculoskeletal system, an integrated nervous system, a flowing lymphatic system, and a body filled with over 90 essential nutrients. This has been a secret too long. Actualize your potential, reverse disease. Call me, Dr. Z, 201-945-1177, 201-945-1177, evolveyourself.com.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document? Worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average over 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
Back to the Power Hour. James Corbett, my guest today on the Power Hour. for this Monday. I just tell you what, we've been having a great time off the air talking about these different things. I just asked James, he's living in Japan now, I asked him about Fukushima. You know, they're building some 250-mile concrete seawall, supposedly, around the outside of that one area that's hit by tsunamis a lot. Why can't they go in and just pour that whole core full of concrete? I mean, what's going on with that Fukushima power plant and all of the radiation that's still spewing, James? Do they talk about it much in Japan, or is it kind of a media blackout over there?
It's not a blackout per se. They do talk about it. It is still in the news. It's not covered nearly as much as it was, of course, but it is still covered here, and people do still think about it and talk about it occasionally. But it's certainly not the central point. I mean, for the last few years, it's been the economic side of things that's dominated the news cycle here. But to answer your question about the cores and what can be done about them, I mean, this is fundamentally, this is the real issue that ultimately never really ends up getting covered, because people are generally talking about the ice wall that they tried to erect around the site in last year, where basically they were going to try to freeze the make permafrost around the site so that the radioactive water couldn't flow through, or the seawall you're talking about to try to protect from future tsunamis, or these types of things, or the decontamination, quote unquote, of the surrounding areas. But they never talk about the actual root of the problem, the real problem, which is the cores, which are lying in some conditions somewhere within that site, and we really don't know where, because they're trying to use all of this, you know, basically the cosmic ray type technology and other, you know, crazy technology to try to see the cores, but that's just to try to find out where they are lying. They're literally, the technology to even start approaching the cores, to actually really get near them, let alone to start doing work to try to contain them, does not yet exist. And this is something that's been talked about by a lot of different people. There was an excellent article up on Washington's blog a couple of years ago documenting all of the different experts who have talked about this. There is no technology which may be directly applied, said the top energy solutions executive, Morant. Hiroshi Tanaka, talking about the need to develop new technology to try to approach the cores. You had William Magwood of the U.S. Senate Committee on Environment and Public Works. The technologies don't exist yet to actually clean up this issue. So that's the underlying issue, and that's why nothing is going to change.
So they have no idea how deep the cores have gone.
They don't know, and they're still trying to image it. They're still trying to find out. They did some tests recently, but they still don't quite see them. They know that it's not in the primary containment. That's all they know at this point. So yeah, I mean, it's still even a guess game where the cores are.
They can't put pump hoses there and just start pumping concrete into the top of the core and let it seep down, or would that not seal off the seawater that's inside of?
That, and of course you run the risk if you're just pumping that in and you're just trapping it in wherever it is. Of course, if it continues to melt through into the groundwater and you have, you know, a China syndrome scenario, yeah, I mean, they have to know where it is in order to even begin approaching how to deal with it, what they can do about it, or how they can contain it. And we're just not there.
How did this mess happen? I mean, we know the power went off when the tsunami hit over there. We know that their generators failed as far as pumping water into the core containment facility to keep it from overheating. I mean, was it just some bungling of the Japanese that caused all this? What happened, James? How in the world did they not get this thing under control before they had the meltdown? Or has anybody even disclosing that?
Well, I mean, bits and pieces of this have come out from a lot of different revelations and different sources over the years. Probably the best way people can get a handle of it in a narrative form, the Union of Concerned Scientists put out Fukushima, the story of a nuclear disaster, that gives kind of the blow-by-blow of what was happening day by day and how it unfolded. Basically, I mean, everything that could possibly theoretically go wrong went wrong. And there's a lot of different things to say, but I think something that needs to be pointed out is this: it's deeply reflective of how in bed the nuclear industry in Japan has been with the supposed regulators that were supposedly regulating them. And not only that, but the fact that it's extremely similar in places like the United States and other places around the world, where there's dozens of Fukushimas waiting to happen. I mean, it's just a question of which one will be the next one. And the official Japanese cabinet government report into this issue found that it was a man-made crisis, in that it was absolutely the actions or inactions of TEPCO and the other companies and regulators that were supposed to have some hand in preventing this type of thing that basically allowed it to happen.
Wow. Okay, hang on. We're going to go to phone calls bottom of the hour in about 1 or 2 minutes. Give us a call. Any questions, James Corbett, one of the top research analysts, reporters, blog broadcasters in the world on the New World Order and what's going on legitimately in the world government. 855-995-6923. We're coming to your phone calls in about 2 minutes. 855-995-6923. Now, tell me about the Fukushima radiation, James. What's going on over there as far as how it's affecting the seafood in the Pacific Ocean? Did they talk about that in Japan? We'll save that call. We'll save that question if we come back from the bottom of the hour break.
Free from the shackles of corporate America, we're the place for independent thinkers. GCN.
Most people know that drinking pure high alkaline pH water is the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using plasma pH drops is the best way to make your water alkaline to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy level. Alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's A-L-K-A-Vision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776 today.
As the New World Order continues to tighten its grip on every facet of our lives, we're all asking ourselves, how can we maintain our independence? The answer is clear. Get prepared, and you get prepared now. Now the only question left is, where do we begin? My Patriot Supply is here to help. Call 800-247-3070 to get started with your 72-hour emergency food supply for only $10. We're even covering the cost of shipping. Are you willing to rely on the government and FEMA in the event of an emergency? Call 800-274-3070 to get started with your 72-hour emergency food supply for only $10. You won't be able to find this deal online, and there is a strict limit of 4 per caller, so don't wait. Call now, 800-274-3070. That's 800-274-3070. Call right now.
Why use dial-up when you can use broadband? Why travel with this when you can use this? And why would anyone use colloidal or ionic silver when you can use supernatural silver? Supernatural silver is state-of-the-art, and it's been clinically proven to be several hundred times more effective than those other silvers. It's powerful enough to protect you and your family from the threat of deadly viruses, bacteria, and fungus. But it's so safe that it can be used internally or topically, and you'll never again deal with the nasty side effects of harsh drugs or antibiotics. Hundreds of scientific studies by independent universities, hospitals, and research institutions have all shown supernatural silver is a powerful weapon in the fight against invading pathogens. Supernatural silver is a must-have for your arsenal. Go to supernaturalsilver.com today and use the promo code SILVER2015 for 30% off. Give yourself and your loved ones a fighting chance with supernatural silver.
James, we're on the Power Hour here today with James Corbett, and we got a full bank of phone calls today. You guys got a bunch of listeners coming in today. We've had a good show with Doc Marquis the second hour, and now with James the third hour. We're going to go as many phone calls as we possibly can. But I want to ask James a real quick question before we do that, because we've got a long break here. What's going on with the seafood? You know, there's all kinds of reports this radiation is causing death all the way up to Alaska, where the water is being released. Is that possible as far as the Pacific Ocean being completely destroyed by this thing after all this millions and millions and billions, I guess, of liters of water have been leaked now into the ocean that are so radioactive? I mean, what's going on with the seafood, James? Or is this a lot of the hype? I mean, because we're seeing all kinds of fisheries that are in tremendous demise all over the Pacific Ocean now. Is that because of Fukushima? Is that because of global warming? What's causing all this?
Well, let's see what we can document here. I mean, we do know absolutely positively that tuna, bluefin tuna with traces of Fukushima nuclear meltdown radiation have been discovered off the coast of Southern California, and that has been occurring since at least 2013. So we know that the radiation has made its way through the seafood, through the sort of mass migration type of fish like bluefin tuna. So we know that's occurring. We can document that. We also have things like the Our Radioactive Ocean Project, which is actually organized by the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institute, that is crowdfunding, basically checking along the west coast of North America for traces of Fukushima radiation, and they publish that information online. So people can check that and sort of come to their own conclusions about that. But it certainly, in terms of what's happening here in the Japanese fisheries, I mean, obviously there have been various times at which fishing has been banned and then allowed and then banned again in the Fukushima Bay region, based on basically the random testing that they've been doing of various fishes. And it's ridiculous. I mean, it's insane that anyone here actually, A, trusts fish that are directly fished from Fukushima Bay, but B, trusts the rest of the Japanese fisheries in terms of their labeling, where these fish are actually coming from. So for myself, my family, my household, we've given up absolutely any fish whatsoever that's being fished out of the Pacific, at least along the Japanese coast right now, and we're not going to touch that again for the foreseeable future. And it's just one of those things. And it seems that although this aspect isn't covered a lot in the Japanese media, it seems that a lot of people seem to have a similar idea. At any rate, a poll of seafood producers that have been affected by this this disaster have reported that their sales, that the only 40% of them are saying that their sales have returned to 80% of their previous levels. So that means 60% actually have less than 80% of the sales they did before the disaster. So they are taking some sort of hit from this disaster, and some Japanese people are avoiding the seafood. But I still, every day, I go past the sushi shops here and see them packed to the gills with people, and I just shake my head and wonder why people still continue to eat this fish. And I don't know, it seems like Russian roulette to me.
Well, you know, same thing with me. I know with my website, healthmasters.com, we now have one brand of our cod liver oil that we have manufactured. We actually have it checked for radiation before we bottle it. Gosh, absolutely. I never thought I'd have to check my cod liver oil for radiation, but it's that bad. I mean, it's starting to affect the fisheries all over the planet. Let's go ahead and go to the phone calls. We've got a full bank of calls. I want to try to get through them today. Bobby in Illinois, you're live on the air right now. Do you have a question for James?
Yes, I'll be quick because I know you'll have a lot of people. Ted and James, what Gabber flashed to me way back when the book come out, Confessions of an Economic Hitman, what all that portended for the world. And, of course, it originated right here in the good old U.S. of A. I didn't think anything could top that. But I have the number one problem facing us and the world. And if somebody can top this one, please do so, and I will stand corrected. And that is the stock market, Wall Street. We now have a Congress that can do insider trading with the stock market of all things. Can you just imagine, let your mind really go, about all the tentacles worldwide and problems and murder and monetary and putting people just in dire straits that does to the world, that they can invest in, you know, inside trade of all things, this Congress. Do you think the murdering is going to stop anytime soon? I thank you for the time.
Thanks, Bobby. What do you think, James? What do you think about the insider trading that's being allowed in Congress now? And what does he mean by that, if you're familiar with it, James?
I'm not familiar enough to talk in detail about the law, but I do know that Congress are allowed to hold on securities that they are directly involved in legislating in various ways, which is just, I mean, it's ridiculous. It's on its face, just outright lawful criminality, quote unquote. So it is absolutely outrageous, but it reminds me of the story a few years ago. And again, I can't remember what agency was floating this idea or in what venue they were, but there was the idea that was floating around that they were going to start an actual terror futures trading market as a way of trying to predict the next big terrorist attack. They were going to say, well, basically people would be able to bet on what the next big terrorist attack would be. And, you know, in a type of stock market, you know, where you buy futures, you know, thinking, oh, there's going to be a big attack in Pakistan or whatever. And that I mean, that type of market, the idea of that is so utterly bone-chillingly frightening to think that there are people who could then actually literally make money on events like that. Because we know, of course, 9/11 and other events like that are always used as economic benefits as well as everything else that they're used for. And that's what the 9/11 insider trading was about. But the idea that they actually floated it, and I believe it was shot down, but still, the idea they floated this terror futures insider trading market is just off-the-wall ridiculous.
James Corbett has two websites I want to give out. www.corbettreport.com, that's CORBETTREPORT.com, and FukushimaUpdate.com. Go to his website. He said he wants you to download his free podcast, and he has some information you can buy, but he wants you to look at the stuff to see if you like it first before you buy it. He's my guest today. We're going to go to Sherry in Kansas. Sherry, in question, you have a, in Kansas, you have a question for James. Go ahead.
Yes. Hello, gentlemen. James, do you have any comment on what Pat Woods is putting forth in his Technocracy Rising book? Have you looked at that, how he's integrating Agenda 21 and all this crap they're doing to control the food supply and the energy is coming forth as the like money?
Well, you can also do the Trans-Pacific Partnership in there, too, if you got any information on that, too, James. It's all tied together. What do you think, James?
It is all tied together. It's a fascinating story. It's one that I've tried to talk about on my podcast before. You can type Technocracy into my search engine and find it. I've also talked to Patrick Wood before. I had him on the program a couple of years ago to talk about the technocratic smart grid. And I am going to have him on in the near future. We've set up a date to have him on to talk about his new book, so I'll hold my comments until that point. But yes, I think the technocracy and this the sort of combination of all of these things is It really is. I mean, that is the New World Order system in a nutshell. And I think he's got the sort of finger on the pulse when it comes to that. So I think this is one of the most important things that we can be trying to expose at this point.
Can you give us a little more insight on that, James? Because we're not all familiar with all of this.
Okay, yes, absolutely. Well, technocracy itself is just the idea that that society should be ruled by quote-unquote experts, like the scientific experts, scientific priest class. And this has been tried out in different ways. It was an actual political movement in the early part of the 20th century that basically talked about how energy could be a form of currency and we could sort of spend energy on projects as they're needed. And it's this idea that's floated around for decades now in various different forms, and people might be familiar with it from certain quote-unquote alternative media movements that have sprung up in recent years, talking about the idea that we're all going to live in cities, you know, basically where flying robots and databases are going to decide where we live and what we do and how everything will be distributed in our society. And we won't need money because it will all be done by the computers. And this, I mean, this ties into basically every type of idea of control, the control grid generally, that the planners, the would-be planners of our society have had for generations. The idea that we can live in this completely controlled, completely delimited society where ultimately, we don't have any free choice over anything. And I think that's ultimately where this is all going. And everything that the caller just mentioned there, I mean, the Agenda 21 and the smart grid and all of these things tie in together in under that idea of technocratic control. So, again, it's a pretty big idea, but I hope people will look into Patrick Wood's book or some of the work that I've done on it in the past.
Tell me real quick, Trans-Pacific Partnership, what the heck is that all about? This is all top secret and Congress can't even see it.
Yes, it's just another example of that phenomenon that we've seen over the last few decades of these giant trade deals. And because they are trade deals that are negotiated through the, I believe the State Department have their fingers in that pie. And it's not subject to FOIA and people can't find out what's in it until it passes. It's another one of those types of deals. So we have some idea about what they're negotiating, and various leaks have come out over the last few years. Luckily, thankfully, it seems to have stalled in the last few rounds of negotiations, and it seems that Japan might be one of the big holdouts there because they don't want to basically open up their agricultural industry here, which is heavily subsidized. So they may be one of the people who are dragging their feet on this whole deal. But basically, it's just a NAFTA of the Asia-Pacific region, and it involves, I don't even know at this point, a couple of dozen different countries in that Asia-Pacific rim. And it's just a gradual expansion. I mean, first you get NAFTA, and then you get things like the Trans-Pacific Partnership. They're working on a transatlantic version of that that'll link up America and the EU. Eventually, you'll start getting the South American trading bloc. You'll get the Asian trading bloc. The Eurasian Economic Union's already come into view. And once you get all of these trading blocks in place, then it's just a question of linking them up either outright or behind the scenes. And there you go. Bingo, bango, global government.
Real quick, James, a lot of folks are concerned about the stock market having a major correction in October of this year, or the dollar losing a lot of its value, or gold actually being all the naked shorts stopping on gold and silver, letting the value go back up. What do you think is going to happen this fall? Do you think anything major is going to happen as far as the U.S. currency or the U.S. economy or the stock market?
I always hate the kind of predictions, the economic prediction game, because they're almost always wrong. But I'm always a sucker for an October collapse prediction, because we know historically that is the time period in which those collapses tend to occur. And we do know that the stock market has been massively, massively overinflated over the last few years because of the quantitative easing and the trillion plus that they've pumped into the economy through the back door, and basically just helping equities to reach the ridiculous record-setting levels they've reached in recent times based on no economic productivity gains whatsoever. So, I mean, it's clearly it's positioned for a fall, and it wouldn't surprise me in the least if it did take place, and it wouldn't surprise me even less if it took place in the September-October period that people are predicting.
I need you to explain one thing for the folks, because I've told them this repeatedly about how the Rothschild Banking Control Central Bank has printed these trillions of dollars. They won't tell us where the money went, but we know that they've basically giving this money to the Citicorp and all these other big banks for next to nothing, like for hardly any interest whatsoever, and they've been going in and buying up the stock market, which they're not even supposed to be able to do. Can you explain to the folks how they're doing that, how they're using that to inflate the price of the equities or the stock market, and why this is just a giant bubble?
Well, we don't have to go on any speculative limb for that. There was a report that came out just several months ago, and I wish I could remember the name of the organization. It'll be somewhere on my website, but they came out. It's a banking institution. It's not even a conspiratorial news outlet or anything, but they came out with a report talking about how the central banks of the world combined over the last several years have pumped something in the order of $30 trillion of excess into global markets generally, with much of that hitting the equities markets in particular. So yes, they generate this money literally out of nothing that we've seen in quantitative easing. And with quantitative easing in the Federal Reserve context, what they've been doing primarily is buying up mortgage-backed securities, toxic mortgage-backed securities, and toxic assets from the banks to take them off their balance books so the banks can then go back in and speculate in the markets in various different ways with their derivative funny money. And that has basically led to a resurgence of the stock markets, the equities. It's just
okay, I always tell the listeners this is exactly what happened in the Weimar Republic back in the early 20s, 1920s, when they started the central bank there, Rothschild-controlled central bank, started printing huge amounts of currency, buying up all the blue-chip stock, and they stayed right ahead of the inflation curve with the money, and they were able to buy all the equities up and owned all the major corporations when the thing finally collapsed. Is that what they're doing here, too, just basically buying the United States, buying the blue-chip corporations so the banks will own everything?
Pretty much. Again, it's mostly institutional investors in the markets right now, as opposed to almost any other period in American history where a lot of average, you know, Joe and Jane investors have owned stocks. Now it's a much lower percentage of the average people owning stocks. It's mostly institutional investors. So yes, they are essentially buying up even the phony economy that they're inflating into the stratosphere right now. That's going to come down at some point.
So basically what they're doing is just taking their money, fiat money they make out of nothing, and buying the actual industry in the United States. So when it all comes out and it all shakes out at the end, they're going to own everything, and we'll be left in a country that we founded, that we conquered with our forefathers, that has gone to the bankers, which is exactly what Thomas Jefferson warned us about. and the corporation.
Well, that Thomas Jefferson quote is spurious. He didn't write that, but it is true. It's exactly what is happening. But yes, and exactly as happened in the Great Depression, and we saw exactly who benefited and profited from that, and you had the elite political Washington insider families, the Kennedys and others, not only maintained but actually grew their fortune during the Great Depression because they were mysteriously well-positioned for that 1929 crash. So,
okay,
as
Linda,
always, the insiders will know.
Linda in Florida coming to you. You're live. Linda in Florida, you got a question for James.
Yes. I had recently heard a little bleep on Japan overtaking China as the largest holder of U.S. debt. And I wanted to find out, was that because Japan is buying more or China's buying less or another reason?
I don't know the specifics of that off the top of my head, but my inclination would be to say that's China buying less and potentially Japan buying more, because Japan, of course, trying to jigger their currency to deflate it against the dollar. So they may be buying more U.S. Treasuries at this point, and China trying perhaps to get off of that system. But that's just speculation at this point. I don't know the details of that.
Okay. Bill in Texas, you're live with James. You got a question.
Yes, I have a question about shares held through a company investment account. In the event of another market collapse, if that broker should go under, those shares are held in the broker's street name, supposedly. Who actually would have those shares? How would that be sorted out?
I couldn't even begin to comment on that. I don't have absolutely any of the details of that. So I really wouldn't know how that transaction would play out.
Okay, thanks, Bill, for the phone call. Let's go ahead. Let's go to Kyle in Montana. Kyle in Montana, you're on the air with James Corbett.
Yes, I got a quick question for you, James, and you sort of touched on it already. A friend of mine is listening to a particular guy that has been predicting a lot of these things, and he's made an enormous amount of money with him. And he predicted that this a couple of years ago about this strong dollar being built up right now and that a lot of the countries would be in, you know, jumping into dollars until the fall of this year. And then he says that...
Kyle, hang on for 1 second. I want you to finish this question and comment just in a second. We're going to a break right now. We'll be right back with you. We're coming live back to Kyle in just a moment. And you guys stay tuned.
Something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2 skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
As the new world order continues to tighten its grip on every facet of our lives, we're all asking ourselves, how can we maintain our independence? The answer is clear. Get prepared, and you get prepared now. Now the only question left is, where do we begin? My Patriot Supply is here to help. Call 800-247-3070 to get started with your 72-hour emergency food supply for only $10. We're even covering the cost of shipping. Are you willing to rely on the government and FEMA in the event of an emergency? Call 800-274-3070 to get started with your 72-hour emergency food supply for only $10. You won't be able to find this deal online, and there is a strict limit of 4 per caller, so don't wait. Call now, 800-274-3070. That's 800-274-3070. Call right now.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels, too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Need you guys to go to the Power Mall, 877-817-9829, 877-817-9829. You need to get some stuff from Joyce so you can make sure this show stays on the air. We had a blast doing it with you today. I'll be back to my normal Tuesdays next week. We had some vacation plans that we were doing, and we're running around some a little bit, so we couldn't be on tomorrow. So Joyce was kind enough to let me take over Monday for her. And I hope you've enjoyed it, because we may be exposed to a different market segment than we normally are exposed to on a Tuesday. So we'll be back next Tuesday for the Power Hour. I'll be hosting it then. I want to go back to Kyle in Montana in just a second, but I want everybody to go to www.CorbettReport.com or FukushimaUpdate.com. Start listening to the Corbett Report. I listen to it on an ongoing basis. Several of his recent articles include China, What You Need to Know, Why Hillary Must Not Become President. I'm going to ask you that right now, by the way. James Corbett, ISIS and the Strategy of Tension, How Big Oil is Cashing In on the Oil Plunge, Net Neutrality or How to Regulate the Internet to Thunderous Applause, and China's Swift Alternative and the Engineered Death of the Dollar. That's another interesting topic I'd like to talk about. We don't have time this morning. I should have seen all these before we got started. James, gosh, you got some good articles here. So go to the Corbett Report. And, James, I want to thank you again for being on with me today. Let's go ahead and go back to Kyle in Montana. Kyle in Montana, you are live on the air. Go ahead and finish your comment for James.
Yes, I did want to tell you, Ted, I really do appreciate it when you're on. You're a very, very good host. But
well, thanks,
anyway, to finish up my point real quick for you, because I know you got other people. Anyway, this gentleman, I can't, and I'm trying to remember his name, but I can't this morning quite pull it out of my hat. He is predicting that by the end of this year, those countries that are running to the dollar right now will see that there's going to be a major downturn in the dollar and flee the dollar. And he's predicting that by the end of this year, early part of next year, you could see anywhere from $100 to $400 silver and gold up in the $3,000 to $4,000 range. And I was just wondering, I know you don't like to predict, James, because I've listened to you quite a bit, and I do appreciate your insight. But this friend of mine has, like I said, made an enormous amount of money just listening to this guy, and I was just kind of wanting to get your comment.
Well, let me put it this way. It wouldn't surprise me in the least if that played out in that way, because we know that the recent run-up in the dollar that really, I mean, it's really started since last summer, which is, of course, when the oil price started plummeting, of course, because the two are linked, is based on nothing fundamental. There's nothing fundamentally going on in the U.S. economy that would justify this great increase in the value of the dollar. We know it's basically, I mean, at best, it's just a best-looking house in a bad neighborhood kind of effect where, I mean, there's no competition out there really internationally for the dollar at this point, but it isn't based on anything fundamental. What goes up will come down, and I certainly do predict there will be a crash at some point, whether it's a hard landing or a very long, slow, soft landing. I can't predict, but if it were to be a type of, you know, shearing of the sheep, get them all flocked in together and then shear them all at the same time, you know, and it's some sort of spectacular crash, it wouldn't surprise me in the least, unfortunately.
Kyle, thank you so much for the phone call. Okay, I'm going to get back to this thing real quick. Hillary Clinton, you say why Hillary must not become president. We got a few seconds to talk about it. Why?
For people who don't know about the Clintons and their disgusting, horrible past and the skeletons in their closet, some of them literal, maybe not literally in their closet, I hope they'll at least look into the Clinton body count as just an example of the way the Clintons do business. And, of course, there's the MENA drug running and all of the other things they've been involved in. Hillary is no different. She's been ankle deep in her neck deep in it with Bill all along the ways. And it would be a nightmare for the United States if she got into power.
James, thank you so much for being on with me today. It's been my pleasure having you on. Thanks, everybody, for listening today, and we'll see you next Tuesday and talk to you next Tuesday.
Thank you.